Hey, I'm Aaron Ashmore, and I play John Jacoby on Killjoys, and you are listening to Rack Rants. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Rack Rants, a Killjoys fan podcast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Hank.
And we're finally back. It's been a little bit of a hiatus for us.
Like a year.
Yeah. In podcast time, it definitely feels like it's been a year because if you take a week off from podcasting, yeah, you got to get back into the groove of chit-chatting with somebody. We do this podcast via Skype, so yeah.
It's partly my fault because I was away on vacation.
No, it's quite all right. You were away on vacation, and I had a bunch of stuff for San Diego Comic-Con that my mom and I did.
Right.
Who is my other podcast co-host. We do a lot of stuff on with podcasting. We do a lot of stuff on YouTube. If you want to check any of that out, it's just rantpocalypse.com or rantpocalypse on YouTube. But yeah, we were in full swing during episode 4 of Killjoys of, you know, watching all the trailers, reacting to them, putting up videos and stuff. So we missed out that weekend, and then you went on vacation to lovely Universal Studios and what, Disney
Orlando.
World yeah. and everything?
Yeah, a couple of days at Universal and one day at Magic Kingdom.
I'm so jealous. Before
it was
we
awesome.
Get to the Killjoys discussions, the new Harry Potter book just came out.
I know.
And it's so, so good.
You read it already?
I haven't finished it. I just picked it up last night, and I've read Act 1. Act 1, Part 1, I think is what I've read. And it is written like a script. So it took a little bit to get into because, you know, you're reading each character's line and everything. But once you get past that, you get so immersed in this world again. And the storyline so far from basically Act 1, I'm not going to spoil anything, has been brilliant. I'm loving it so much. So I'm definitely jealous of your trip to Universal Studios because you get to go to Harry Potter World and it's like the greatest place on earth.
Yeah, I had never been there, so it was pretty nice.
This was your first time?
My first time ever to Harry Potter World. Yeah, I'd never been there.
I didn't know that. I thought you had went last summer or something.
No.
Oh, my God.
The last time I went to Disney, it was probably over 10 years ago or something.
That is insane. You live in Florida, and you should be going to Harry Potter World like all the time.
Well, now I have an annual pass.
There you go.
So I'll probably be back for the holidays.
And now that you know you love butterbeer and you're obsessed with it.
Yeah, I definitely had like 7 butterbeers, I think. That definitely is, the frosty ones are the coolest.
That is a lot of butterbeer.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I would have had like an extreme sugar high at that point.
There was so much freaking heat that I was just, I was super dehydrated. By the time I'd finished a butterbeer, it was already out of my system.
Man, I love Harry Potter World so much, and I know I'm not going to get off way in the weeds because I know we're here to talk Killjoys and everything, but the reason why I love things like Killjoys and I love things like Harry Potter is because the world that has been built is just so much fun to live in, and if you're listening and you've never been to Harry Potter World and you're a Harry Potter fan.
It's crazy watching all that come to life and just walking through the stores and what's it called? Borgate and Burke's?
Yes.
The dark magic store. You know, the dark arts. I love that store. That was the coolest, my favorite store.
Yeah.
And I picked up a baseball cap with the Deadly Hallows on it.
Did you get a wand?
No, I didn't. My little nephew did, and he would stop at all the stops to, you know, do the tricks at the different windows and all that. So it's like $50 for the wand that activates the stuff in the window.
I don't think I got the fancy one, but I
had some nice one though.
They do have some nice wands. I'm fairly certain that I got Severus Snape's wand. I think I did, either that or I got Voldemort's wand. I can't remember. I've got it here stashed away. My girlfriend and I both we got wands whenever we visited. We've only been once, but man, it is just fantastic. So. All right, I guess that's enough Harry Potter talk. I just wanted to reminisce with you for a few minutes because I do love that place so much. So what we're going to do in this podcast recap episode is we're going to discuss briefly episode 4, which was entitled Schooled, and then we'll get into the bulk of the conversation on episode 5, which was entitled Meet the Parents. I'm loving these episode titles, by the way, because we were just talking about episode 6, which comes out this Friday. It's entitled I Love Lucy, and that's just so perfect. Such an amazing, and amazing title.
Such a great episode. I've already seen it.
Yeah, you've already seen it.
And I loved it.
I'm very excited about that. And we are actually going to be interviewing Lucy herself later this week, I believe. So, and what is her last name? How do you pronounce it? I know her first name's Tampson.
I don't know how to pronounce the
last
name.
Is it McDonough or something like that?
McDonough?
McDonough? I don't know. We'll have to ask her whenever she comes on, because I am definitely world famous for not pronouncing people's names right. So it'll be a lot of fun discussing that episode with her. I can't wait to talk about that episode. I haven't seen it yet, but hopefully by the time we interview her, I will have seen it. So that way we can discuss that one, because I Love Lucy. That means it's got to be a very big episode about Lucy herself. Oh. So I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I can't wait. All right, so let's get into episode 4, which, again, is entitled Schooled. And on this episode, basically, our group, Dutch, Dav, Johnny, and Potter, they are working on a mission to escort children to a school for talented kids, the Prodigy School. And it goes, of course, wrong.
so wrong.
Yeah, because, of course, once they get there, they find out that the students have gone missing, and not only have they gone missing, but they've turned into basically
goo mush.
Yeah, something disgusting, because they were basically eviscerated. So
that's awful.
It is awful.
Killjoy is killing children in pods.
Yeah, it was really difficult whenever you find out that those kids were basically zapped.
Yeah, Potter was
death.
Like, the kids' DNA are, this is what's left of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit rough. There was a couple of things in this episode. Overall, I really enjoyed this episode. I don't think it was my favorite episode of the season, but I still really, really enjoyed it. And of course, it's still leaving a lot of these mysteries unanswered in episode 4. But I liked the introduction of Sabine, not only because she's gorgeous.
Yes, she is.
She is quite pretty. I'm like, man, Dutch.
And Devin was like a puppy just the second she walked out.
Yeah, it was hilarious watching him drool at the bar and everything. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of the ladies, you've got Dutch, Sabine, Potter. Delcea makes a return.
Oh, Delcea was back.
This episode.
That's right. Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, it is quite nice. And of Lucy, of course. I mean, I know that she's just a spaceship and just a voice, but she's quite a lovely voice. So with Sabine, is she good or is she bad? And I know we'll get into a little bit more with her in episode 5, but just off your initial impressions, what do you think's going on with Sabine? Because I think, one, she's a little bit too good looking to work at the Royale sometimes, even though I think Pri's a very handsome man. But I don't know. I would have expected a little bit more of like a scoundrel looking chick. In the Royale working there, she looks a little bit too clean for my for
a
my liking.
Out of place, yeah,
yeah.
And she seemed to take a quick interest in Davin. So
yes.
I theorized in my review that Klein put her there. You know, that she's planted. I don't know if she's a level 6 or if something like that's gonna end up happening, but that'd be a cool twist. It just seems like she's there and it's too perfect, right place, right time, and strikes up this thing with Davin. So, yeah, that was my initial impression.
It does seem a little bit strange, like you said, that she takes quite the interest in Davin. I guess I just want to go ahead and get into episode 5 real quick for her character, because she's not a whole lot in episode 5, but we do meet her again because Dav is smitten with her. And after they serve their warrant in the initial part of episode 5, he's like, let's go get some drinks. Come on. You know you want to, Dutch.
Yeah.
And I love when she gives him shit of, haha, what's the bartender's name again? And she like rattles off
sandwich.
Yes. Sandwich. But then, so he has something that she's trying to get, because she's, kind of questioning him a little bit more, like, where are you from? These kind of things in episode 5. Mm-hmm. So I don't quite trust her.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know what to say about her, but I don't quite trust her. It was Peaches, right?
Yeah,
that's what Dutch called her, Peaches. So
well, no, that's what she asked Davin for.
Oh, that's right.
Something, yeah,
Yeah.
something like her dad used to get peaches or something, and if he came across some to bring her some back or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. Which is a
Yeah,
very
but they
odd
got to talking
request.
family and all this and home planets and all this so quick
Yeah.
that it
Well,
just seems like,
and the way that whenever they are flirting, and I say that with quotation marks, it was extremely awkward, and Davin
Yeah.
points it out. He's like, I don't remember flirting being this confrontational
Uncomfortable.
or
Yeah.
uncomfortable. Because it definitely seemed like she was drilling him.
Right.
It wasn't the casual bar conversation of, hey, how's your week going? Everything going all right? What would you like to drink types of things. You don't normally get into the family stuff like right off the bat. It's more, the small talk of what do you do for a living or something like that.
Right.
So
That's
I
what
don't
gave
know.
me that impression. There's something's up with her, yeah.
Yeah, I don't quite trust Sabine, but she is quite lovely to look at. I hate to be that superficial, but she is. I don't know who the actress is that plays her. Do you know? Have you looked that up?
I did, but now I don't. It's Tori something, but I don't remember her last name now. I
Okay.
know because I follow everybody quickly on Twitter. You
Yes,
know, when they
she's
pop
good.
up, I go to the Killjoys TV Fanatic account and follow them.
Yeah.
But I don't remember her last name, no.
Well, Sabine, that works for me. I like that name. It's a
Or
very interesting
sandwich.
name. Yeah, or sandwich.
Yeah, I hope she sticks around. So let's see what happens.
I do too. I hope she does stick around. What did you think about Potter joining the team on Lucy as well as this mission in episode 4?
Oh,
And
I thought it
Dutch
was
kind of getting a
cool.
little jealous.
Yeah, was she jealous though, or is she? I don't know, because I got some shit in my review from people saying, no, they're like brother and sister. That's not jealousy. But I don't know. It seemed like she's a little jealous to me.
You could still be jealous, I think, in a way of being, even if it's a brother and sister type relationship, because you're jealous of that person's time, for one.
Right.
So that you can still be jealous, maybe not in a sexual way, but even, I don't know. I always thought from season 1 that there was some kind of sexual tension between Johnny and Dutch. Like it was this sexual tension that was like so far, like just deep, deep down. It was so you really didn't notice it on the surface, but that there was something there. Like there was seeds to me being planted
Sure,
that
yeah.
there could be something. 'Cause you always have those relationships where they start out as a friendship and then, things blossom a little bit. And then
Right.
one day one of the two realizes, holy shit, I like this person in
I
another
love
way.
her.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I always felt about their relationship is maybe right now, yes, it was more on the friendship level, but
Right.
eventually down the line, they were going to fall for one another.
Well,
And
that's exactly what Aaron told me in one of our chats. He said, right now they're just close friends, but maybe season 5 or 6, you never know.
that's kind of what I see as well, and that's how I feel. Like, I don't think it's going to bubble up to the surface at any point right now. But I definitely feel like there's something else there. And whenever Dutch, she calls Potter Princess Pouty in
Yeah.
episode 5 at the beginning. I mean, come on, that's not something you say
That's
if
true.
you don't feel a little twinge of like sexual jealousy, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I
that's
don't know.
true.
That's just me. Hey, you can throw the hate at me. Now people instead of Hank and his reviews, but I've always felt that there's something there. But yeah, she does seem a little bit jealous of Potter joining the team on this mission because
She was okay once she was on board the ship and stuff. She didn't give him too much shit.
did
You
you
know, when.
like it when Johnny said Alvis Scarbunk?
Yeah. And the other one calls him what, monk pants or something?
Yeah.
They have all these names for him.
They crack me up. It's almost like since they're brothers, they both have to be jealous
Right.
of him, of Alvis.
It's weird because I never thought of Alvis and Dutch as having had a thing.
No.
And people were pointing out to me, yeah, that was so obvious from the first season. I'm like, really? I didn't see that in the first
We both
season.
must have blinders on because I
So I don't
never
know.
recognized that at all.
I guess I just thought of him as a monk, but you know. He's not the kind of monk that we think of on Earth. He's like the monk that bangs anybody.
Yeah, exactly. He's so. Like basically the preacher on Outcast. I don't know if you, for you those listening and you don't watch the show, but he's a preacher that basically he drinks, he cusses, he beats people up. I mean, you know, he's definitely not your stereotypical preacher. So
and the preacher on preacher.
Exactly, and the preacher on preacher. It's, we've got a running theme right now of preachers not acting too preacherly. Mm-hmm. On TV shows, but I love it. I have so much fun. Maybe not with Preacher because I haven't watched it yet, but definitely with Outcast. I've heard Preacher is much more fun than Outcast. Outcast is very serious. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I love Potter on the mission. I love Potter joining the team. I love
finding out that she and Delsea had that thing when they were kids.
Yes.
And she dyed her blue or something. What was it she said?
I can't remember. Basically, she made it where she couldn't grow any hair back. She couldn't get her eyebrows back for 2 years or something like that. It is very interesting, and getting into Delsea and everything, I don't know what her ultimate role is on the show, because she pops up every now and again, and she's obviously in bed with Klein in some form or fashion.
Right.
We don't know ultimately what it is. And she has a line in this episode where she said, "Daddy likes me best," when she's interacting with Dutch.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That one really struck me as odd. I don't know why, other than "Daddy likes me best," I'm thinking, are these two related? Or is it like a daddy in the sense of I need a baby daddy or a rich daddy to take care of me type thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I do remember the line, though.
Yeah, that's
that one. I thought that was interesting, too, yeah.
Yeah, because I always wonder what's her relationship with Klein. Like, why does Klein keep reaching out to her? I get that she's a part of the Nine and that she is, you know, the Nine families are all powerful within the show's world and everything. But it's weird to me that she keeps reaching out to he keeps reaching out to Delsea. And not only the fact that it would be really creepily awkward if they were somehow related, Dutch and Delsea, because of the flirting that they do with one another in this episode.
That's true.
Flirting. Yeah, exactly. The hate flirting is great. The two lies and a truth game that they played.
Yeah, that was fun.
I drank the blood of the innocent.
I didn't hate that kiss.
Yeah, I didn't hate that kiss. Yeah.
Yeah, they have great chemistry too, those two.
They do have great chemistry. So did we ever find out which one the two lies and the truth were that Delsea said? Because hers were, "I drank the blood of the innocent," "I love your hair," and "The Prodigy program is a living human seed bank to protect all Kreshi culture and technology and knowledge," I guess.
Well, that was for real, that one.
So that was the truth right there.
Yeah.
And she says that
"love your hair."
Yeah, I guess "I love your hair" was not right. I love Dutch's hair. Dutch's hair is fantastic. They'll say, "Get off her hair, bitch."
I think she's commented on her hair before.
Maybe she has. I don't know.
Yeah, she doesn't like it too much. And what was the other one? "I drink the blood of the
innocent."
Of the innocent?
Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah.
Because so the truth was the Prodigy program, it's a living human seed bank. And she says that we're preparing for war depending on Klein's message. So when she says that, and then I said we were going to do episode 4 only, but it's hard not to do a little bit of episode 5.
Going to 5,
They all gel and mesh together.
I love that.
Yeah, I love it as well. I like the fact that the warrants are cool. Like, I do like the warrants, but for me, I would much prefer a show where it's all about the larger storyline at stake, as opposed to
this season
to
is much more serialized than the first season was. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
which I like a whole lot.
Me
too. So okay, tying that in together, this preparing for war thing with what Adeline Sims tells Sarah. No, yes. Am I getting that
Potter.
Right? Yeah, Potter. Tells Potter. So
real name Sarah.
Yeah, okay. Power. That's where I'm getting confused. I'm like, okay, her real name's Sarah. I'm in love with her. I have a huge crush on her. It's sad, but she seems really nice in real life. So moving on past my awkward crush on Sarah Power. So whenever she has that conversation with her daughter, and because she's talking about the pathogen that she created, that was created in order to basically make
ruin
it
ruin the planet, right?
Yeah, to ruin the planet, to make it where nobody would want to take over Kresh.
Right.
So what the hell is going on here, Hank? And I know you've seen episodes 6 and 7 already, and you can't comment on that.
No, but I don't know what's going on yet.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that you don't
know. I don't know who the big bad is, because now we sort of found out that the Black Root, Klein, they do answer to him or something like that.
He said, I usually control them.
Right. But now they've kind of gone rogue. But so it doesn't seem like they're this big bad either. So it's got to be something else.
Yeah, and I know we talked about the lady. That was like her only mention was at the end of that one episode. And then she did that.
And we said it was going to be Dutch.
I still feel like it ultimately could be something about Dutch, because there's a lot of mystery still with Dutch.
Now Klein said that she was never on Arkin.
Exactly.
And she didn't kill those Scarbacks.
I am so ready to find out what the hell's going on
there. I'm wondering how Klein even connected with Davin through the goo, if supposedly he rejected all the goo.
How did that
even work?
Yeah, that was a question to me as well, because I don't... Yeah, how the hell would he have done that? Because we've seen that he already rejected the goo in the past episodes.
I guess traces left behind or something that he's able to tap into. I don't know. But yeah. I was wondering that, yeah.
Hopefully that'll get explained, maybe? Or is that one of those, stories, sequences that you just kind of go with and you don't really question it? And then...
I think we just got to go with it.
Yeah, which is fine. It certainly made for some interesting stuff. So, okay, well, let's get into episode 5. Do you have any
the
final...
Freaky Friday stuff.
Yeah, do you have any final thoughts on episode 4? Of course, we find out in episode 4 that it was the kid, Olin, all along. I will say that I did like the fact that the relationship between Olin and Jake, I think it's Olin, right?
Yeah,
Olin. Little kid, yeah, Olin. I loved how it mirrored basically the relationship that Dav and Johnny had throughout their entire life. I thought that was a very clever writing technique. Liked it a lot.
No, and I also I'm really loving Davin this season. I like the way all his scenes with the kid. I think they've worked hard this season, because last season I didn't like the guy at all. So I think they've really worked hard.
He was more of like a one-note character last season.
Yeah. To flesh him out a little more and to show us he has feelings and he is kind of a hero in his own way, and he's not as dickish as we thought last year.
Yes. That is very true.
But yeah, all the stuff with the kid. The kid was very good too. The actor, though.
Yeah. The kid that played Jake.
Yeah. He was very good.
He was very good. I liked him quite a bit. I've lately been on a string of really, really good child actors. It's been phenomenal, because we both binge watched Stranger Things. The kids on there were just like top notch.
Phenomenal, those kids. And all of them.
Yeah.
Usually you have like one that sticks out that may be a little off, but all those kids on Stranger Things were awesome.
Yeah, they were all awesome. This kid was awesome. We didn't really get to see much from the other kids on this episode, but they were fine. And Outcast, there's been like a couple of good child actors.
Yeah.
Who knows? I feel like in the 80s there were so many good child actors, and then something happened. I don't know if it was like the reality TV craze where kids weren't really learning the craft as much as they were just like wanting to be famous. Because now, man, there's been really, really good child actors lately. So yeah, the kid that played Jake, I thought he was fantastic. I don't think I have anything else. I love the opening with Potter and the Salt Plains. I thought that was really cool. I liked how Johnny came in and they had
the big Brona stuff.
What's that?
Big Brona.
Big Brona,
was wrestling. Yeah. I liked that he came to save her, but she, got herself out of it. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't need anybody to save her, which is cool.
She does definitely does not have or need anybody to save her. I think that was it. Oh, well, I did love the end when Fancy murdered the shit out of all those dudes. I thought that was fantastic. So, okay, so that takes us right into episode 5, which was entitled
Meet the Parents.
Yes, because I love the ending of episode 4 where Klein is, you know, he said, like, set a course for Talon because they're going to go to Davin and Johnny's home planet. Yeah. And, but then, so it was a bunch of meeting the parents in this episode. Cause I honestly, I thought it was just going to be, Johnny and Potter meeting her parents. But I really loved the fact that we got to meet Davin and Johnny's parents, or, well, yeah, the dad father. As well. So
yeah, I had forgotten that their mother died because in the pilot, someone reminded me this on TV Fanatic.
Uh-huh.
In the pilot, when they're in that cage fight, he tells them she died or something. I guess she mm-hmm. overdosed on Jack or something.
Yeah.
So I didn't
right.
remember. And I was wondering, where was the mom, you know, during all this? And she's dead. So somebody pointed out she died. They mentioned that in the pilot.
Well,
so the father was, you know, alone.
That's now I feel like that there's a little bit more mystery behind that, though.
The mother?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that there's going to be something more to the mother than the fact that she died on Jack, because whenever Klein, because basically what Klein was going to, he was wanting to test out the dad to see if that's where the genetic traits came from.
Right.
Where Davin was, he couldn't be controlled by the green goo and everything, that he resisted it. So, because at the end of this episode, they say that it's because of the military doing some kind of experiment. Yeah, putting these implants in them and experimenting. So do you think does that automatically rule out everything with his mom? You think his mom has nothing to do with it now? Or do you
feel
like... That's
the impression I got. I felt like, you know, we didn't even touch on the mom really this episode. And then when they reminded me that she's dead, then I kind of just, you know, bought it. But the military implants, that was Dr. Yeager?
Mm-hmm.
The one that did the implants and all that? Or yeah. Was it something else?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I'm very interested in why, you know, if it is ultimately these military implants that is making it where Davin can resist the green goo, why they did that? Like, are they... Because obviously, if you, like, we just take a step back really quickly and look at the board here. Because Klein controls these level sixes with the green goo. He turns them into level six with the green goo.
Right.
Which ultimately, before the Black Root turned on his ass, the level six program was obviously a part of Black Root. They were using Klein to get shit done. What they got done, we don't know yet. That's still a mystery. We still have no clue, like, what's going on with the, you know, the nine families, what's going on with Klein, what's going on with the Black Root. I don't know. Unless you got something out of this episode that I did not, everything's still up in the air.
No, yeah.
So I'm curious, because we do know that the company, which in turn would be the military, they seem to have their own agenda. They put up walls they put up walls around Old Town. And they want to put up walls around all these other places, which Potter is going to work to try and to make it where they can't do that anymore. So,
but we're also assuming they're doing that to keep people in. Maybe it's to keep the larger threat out.
That's true.
It could be also. And I was thinking that whole thing with Klein. Klein wants to find out how he's immune so he can replicate it.
Yes.
You know, so I was thinking maybe those military experiments, if the company was doing that, they were doing it, you know, to resist level six or whatever, you know, or
why would he want
level six conversion? I don't know.
See, that doesn't make any sense to me because...
He wants people to be immune to the green goo.
Because
that's what, you know, that's what he's looking for with them. And that's why he says, no, I'm very interested in him.
You know? Yeah, because he said he was on a certain path. And he said he was on that path with her, with Dutch. And then Davin came into her life and it, you know, the paths diverged basically.
Right.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing what exactly it was that he said. So yeah, I'm very interested, very intrigued. I'm also very confused at this point on why exactly
Klein is very confusing.
He is extremely confusing, but I think it's a good thing. I mean, I'm glad that I don't know what's going on right now.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's a sign of...
It's not frustrating.
Yeah.
It's
exciting.
Keeps you interested. Right.
Yeah, I'm definitely not frustrated at all. I think it's been very, very, very awesome storytelling throughout the first five episodes of the season. Mm-hmm. Thinking back to like where we were in Dutch and the Real Girl to where we are now, I mean, we're like knee deep in all the storylines and everything. And it's been great. So, okay. So getting to some of our favorite things in this episode, I think we're very alike on what we liked in this episode, but the
Freaky
whole,
Friday.
Yeah. What was your absolute favorite moment in this episode?
Oh, the crushy dinner.
Okay. Same for me as well.
You too? Yeah. No, okay. Everything about that. And no matter how many times I've seen it, like 20 times, I crack up like an idiot every time. Because Aaron Ashmore's reactions are, it's just perfect. You know, everything is perfect about that scene. And that freaking gong. And I just lose it every single time.
Well, whenever the dinner started out, I felt like we were in an episode of Game of Thrones or something. Whenever Caster's like naming off their titles and whatnot, I'm just thinking, oh my God, I feel like I'm listening to Daenerys right now, like telling me she's the, you know, I'm the mother of dragons, the breaker of chains, the blah, 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 blahs that she goes on and on about. But yeah, that dinner was absolutely incredible. I've seen the episode a couple of times now, and whenever Johnny gets up from the table, right after Potter left, and you know, Hank, which I'm so sorry, Hank, by the way.
I know, I was giving them shit on Twitter. I was like, Michelle and Adam, you know, I thought you guys liked me because Adam Barkin wrote this episode.
Okay,
he did a phenomenal job.
Adam did a phenomenal.
But they were like, no, you're the good Hank. Don't worry, you're the good Hank.
He was definitely the dickiest dick that's ever dicked.
What
no
a
doubt
massive
about that.
Dickhole.
Yeah, he definitely
like
was.
Said.
Yeah, but I loved it whenever he said that, you know, we've got rules around here about getting up from the dinner table. Yeah. And Johnny's like, fuck you, man. I'm not from Crest, so I don't have to listen to your shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it was so great. I laughed so hard at that line. I mean, I laughed at a bunch of the stuff in this episode.
Yeah, are you naked? Just my bum.
Just my bum.
He had some great lines throughout the episode.
He did have some great lines. And I you know, I've got to point out, you know, he's looking in very good shape. Like, he's been working out quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, whenever he had his little interview with us, and he was talking about that he wanted to get into some more kick-ass scenes,
right.
I think he's been working out in the hopes that they're going to be like, man, look at Aaron over there. He's been hitting the weights. I think we need to you know, have a role reversal, because it's always Luke McFarlane that gets like the badass action scenes.
That's true, yeah.
I think John Jacoby is due. So
he had a cool scene there in that fight scene in episode 4 when he went to get Potter.
He did. That was,
yeah,
that was
brief,
fun.
But it was cool.
His fight scenes are always humorous, though.
Right.
You know, he's like the guy in the fight scene that he's in the kitchen, so then he's got to use like the most humorous weapon out of the kitchen or something. Like, he's gonna beat somebody up with an egg beater or something like that. That yeah. like he that he like turns on and like punches him in the face with the egg beater. So I love him, though. Like, he is to me just the best thing about this show. Like, Aaron Ashmore,
he's awesome.
He kills it on this show. I honestly don't even know where the show would be without his character. And I understand, like, it's the writing that is his character, but it is also him, the actor, that brings this role to life and everything. And man, he does a phenomenal job.
Yeah, because they write the lines, but the way he delivers it, you know, it's just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That one scene, that dinner scene, was just perfect. Everything, and Potter also. Because
yes.
Sarah, the way that Sarah interacted with him and her facial expressions and stuff were just perfect.
Yeah, they worked
great stuff.
Phenomenally well together. I really liked them. I was kind of worried, you know, in the sense of whenever we talked to Aaron earlier before the season started, he was saying that, you know, they were going to be split up this season, which they mm-hmm. were. In this in episode 4, they were split up briefly, and then they came together for the ultimate mission together. In this episode, they were completely split up. We had we had Johnny and Potter, and then we had, you know, of course, Dav and Dutch and Klein, completely separate things going on. And I was worried about that because I really love their team dynamic. I think that they're all great together. But it didn't matter. It worked perfectly in this episode.
It still worked. And Dutch called him up to get some advice,
mm-hmm.
and then he asked her, you know, how would you do defuse a bomb or whatever, you know, to figure that out. So yeah, they still helped each other out. It was cool.
Okay, do you feel like the episode needed that?
No.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. But
do you think
you still that they had some teamwork there? You know, they were still reporting.
Yeah. Do you feel like they put that in there because maybe they were concerned that breaking the team up like that, that we kind of had to, we've got to be conditioned as an audience to have these characters together. Do you think so at all?
I don't know. I didn't think of it then, but it's possible.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like the TV shows sometimes do that. They'll have like the phone conversation or something like that. And that's
just to bring everybody together.
Yeah. To bring everybody back together. It didn't hurt the episode at all. I don't feel like it needed it, because I think at the ending of the episode is what we needed. I felt like that's what we needed. We needed that embrace between Johnny and Dutch, because we have this awesome
scene. Now he's
going to
be sneaking around on
exactly,
her.
Yeah, because...
That's going to suck.
Yeah, we have that epic moment between Johnny and Potter where, you know, the romance, the sparks, they're going off. Like, yeah. I am loving it. And the fact that he's going to be hiding stuff from Dutch and Dav, I feel like it's going to split the team up a little bit. Eventually.
I think so.
Yeah.
They're going to probably start from scratch in the third season or something.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, I guess, like the ultimate way to end things at the end of season two, is to where the team is split up, in the sense that there's conflict amongst the team. So
I'm curious to see how much of every, you know, the bigger thread we're going to learn this season. Michelle did say that there's answers in episode 10. So we are going to get answers about the goo and how all these, you know, parts connect.
Yeah, because we're rapidly approaching the end.
I know.
It sucks.
Yep, I've seen up to 7, but I'm still clueless. I know about the bigger picture. So,
okay, is that because they haven't told us anything, or is that because...
No, because they haven't really gotten into
the larger mystery.
Right.
Okay.
Or how Klein fits into all of that. So,
well, I mean, that's what I'm loving that they do. They unravel one mystery, it seems like, per episode.
Yeah,
and then there's like 10 more that they pile on, which is a whole lot of fun, because we briefly touched on it earlier about the fact that that Klein tells Dutch that he was, you know, she was not on Arkin, she wasn't the one killing the Scarbacks and everything, and we still don't know what's in the Red 17 transmission. Olin has he has it in him, and that was kind of weird to me, the fact that we didn't get that explained to us in this episode, but I'm assuming that. That's where we're going to go straight to in episode 6, because it's like, you know, Olin was in episode 4. We didn't touch on it at all in episode 5. I think we should come back to it and learn what the hell is in that transmission, because I'm ready to find out.
It's coming, but not so much in 6.
Oh, damn it.
But yeah, it's got to be coming. But you know what else was so cool? Watching Klein kind of move like Davin. That strut that he had, and then the other one acting all like Klein. It was cool because each of the actors filmed the other one's, you know, scene. So they could go back and watch it and watch how, you know, the other person, how, you know, Davin moves or how Klein moves or whatever, and work off of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said that on Twitter.
I did not know that.
Adam Barkin, the writer of the episode. They shot the scenes for each other, like for reference.
That's awesome.
They watched them back, and they did pretty good.
So. No, I thought they did awesome. I loved how what is his name in real life?
Rob Stewart.
Yeah. Okay. I loved how he walked around as Dav, because Dav kind of has like a little strut to him. That's obviously it's his own. That's Luke McFarlane's walk in the show. And I love
how Klein's much more sophisticated. And,
yes, how Davin was fighting everybody.
Right.
It was more methodical. It wasn't. Whenever you see Dav fight, he's kind of all over the place.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes you don't, and that's his unpredictability is probably like his best asset. But with Klein, it's like it's like a very rigid, very structured fighting technique. And that was really cool seeing, you know, whenever Davin was fighting those guys, or I don't know who the hell those guys were. They were gross. That opening scene was so disgusting.
Those grody Skeever brothers. Yeah. That was nasty.
I was trying to eat something, and the dude's getting like the mucus out of his throat. I'm like, oh, man, I'm not even hungry. And it was like chicken noodle soup that I was eating. So it was even more disgusting. Yeah, they were gross.
You're right. He was very sleek and very precise.
Yes,
you know,
there you go.
And his movements, very cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, they pass for one another perfectly. Yes. I was wishing there'd be a little more, like it would go into the next episode, but, you know, too much of a good thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Also could fuck it up. But
speaking of the Freaky Friday, one of my favorite moments, it had nothing to do with either one of those two actors, but was with Lucy, whenever Klein is talking about the technology and, you know, he wanted to have the faster than light transmission and everything, and they didn't have the technology on the ship, and Lucy yeah. says, well, you can gladly step off the ship and go find right. that technology. So I love those little moments they put in there with Lucy, because she's great.
I also loved how Fancy recognized right away that it wasn't really Klein. Like, he saw him, you know?
Yeah.
That was cool, too.
And the fight that they had. It wasn't much of a fight, but
right.
Fancy does not like Davin.
No.
Not at all. Like, they've always had this little conflict with one another. What went wrong there? Is it just literally because, you know, at first Davin would give him so much shit, and then, I mean, Fancy would in turn give him shit, but I don't recall, like, the exact, like, thing that went wrong between the two of them. What was
no,
it?
Me neither. I know that he's always like Johnny.
That's
but
true.
But Davin, not so much.
I mean, was it because Dutch got in the way of the warrant, and, you know, he was worth a lot of money because he was a kill warrant, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, maybe it's just all know. Comes back to the money. I'm not sure.
I'm wondering if we'll see their father again. Because we learned this episode that the parents were, you know, trying to make their kids stronger by being assholes.
Yeah.
You know, trying to toughen them up, because the father was doing the same thing, just to make
the Davin sheriff
stronger. Yeah.
So I want to know where that nickname came from. Because we didn't learn much about him other than, you know, now he's just kind of beaten up with life. He looked pretty bad, you know. His dad looked like a shell of his former self if he was right. ever you know, a human being to be feared, because he definitely didn't look like somebody to be feared at this point. He just looked pretty pathetic, which was, you know, I guess was the point and everything. I don't know. I feel like we're going to find out something about
something
his mom. Their relationship and everything. So I don't know if it was just a strictly a, you know, this asshole dad beat on the mom and she got addicted to Jack and she OD'd on Jack because of the abusive relationship and she wanted a way out. I don't know. I mean, that, you know, that you hear those storylines sometimes and everything, but I feel like there's something more there. But it may just come down to military intervention, and that's why Dav is, you know, be able to resist the green goo, because we've talked about it before. Why wouldn't Johnny be able to have this same ability? But then again, have we seen them try? The Klein hasn't tried to do anything with Johnny yet, has he?
No, not at all.
Exactly. Boom.
Hmm.
Johnny's immune too.
Maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know. All right. I'm trying to think. I mean, everything that they at the Sims estate, I thought was fantastic. I loved the dad, Andrew Gillies or Giles. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I think it's Gillies.
Gillies. He played Waymer Sims, who, mm-hmm. of course, we talked about before. He was in 12 Monkeys and everything. I was really
and
sad.
Orphan Black.
Oh yeah, and Orphan Black. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's in a lot of really good stuff. Lots of really good sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, he's
so
good.
I was.
I
really
knew
sad.
Right away. I liked him right away, so I knew if
so
anyone was going out, it was
die.
Him. Yeah, because just the way he treated Potter, the mother, I didn't care so much. Even
Adeline,
though you kind of find out what her plan was, and she was sacrificing herself or whatever. But the father, I liked right away, so I knew he was going out this week.
Yeah,
but she lost them both, you know.
But like you said, in your review, was the time wasted worth it though? Because yeah, these both of these parental figures in Johnny and Dav's life, and then in Potter's life, were complete assholes to them. You know, I get that it makes you stronger, I guess, I suppose. And all of our characters they're very strong characters and whatnot. But especially in Adeline Sims, with her going out in this episode the way that she did, and she still was not, like, you know, Potter even points it out, like, she didn't say I love you before she left. She
right.
didn't do any of that stuff. She's like,
she was a nice queen before she froze.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she was a nice queen in real life and in her afterlife. So,
but in a sense, it made Potter ready you know, to lead her family.
Yeah.
And take her place there in the nine. So, I don't know.
It was sad.
It's time wasted.
I think it's
especially if her end, you know, was like that. So.
Yeah. Whenever she wouldn't give her, because they were going there, to get the Order of Exile rescinded.
Right.
Yeah.
She's like, no. Finish your dinner and then leave.
Yeah, not very cool. Bitch. I mean, it did lead to an awesome dinner moment. But I like that Potter is now the new lady of the land. I wasn't expecting that. I honestly thought her sister is who I thought it would go to. But
I think she's the older one, though, right?
I guess, but the fact that she was...
Because Hank was originally her fiancé, and then she was with this one, with the sister. And I wondered when... Hank disappeared and she said, oh, poor Hank or something, but we didn't see him die. I was like, no, that guy's around somewhere. He's going to pop up and screw some shit up. And he did. The actor was funny, though. He did a good job.
It's always nice whenever the people that come on there, they do a great job at being an asshole. That's a tough gig to take, I'm sure. Or it could be really fun. You know, a lot of times maybe these people are super duper nice in real life. And they relish this moment to just be a complete dickhole. So he was great. Who do you think hired him to do this stuff? That's what I was also wondering, because he didn't ever come out and say it in this episode, right? He just said that he would split the joy with Johnny. They kill off the rest of the Sims family. But he never said who exactly it was that hired
him. No, yeah, he didn't. It seemed like it was just for himself.
I wanted to wrap up the podcast discussion on episode 5 with a comment that I saw on your review on TVFanatic.com for Killjoys episode 5. Uh-oh. And this was from Melody. That's what I'm going to pronounce it, Melody.
Okay.
And she said something that I found interesting, because we are, you know, we're trying to figure out what the hell Hank's ultimate motive was. Was it just money? Did somebody hire him in the sense that...
Oh, I thought you meant what my ultimate is writing these reviews.
Non-dickhole Hank, the nice Hank. obviously, somebody must have hired him because he said he was going to get money for it. But who was it? I like this, even though I don't know, I don't necessarily agree with what she has to say. But, well, actually, I kind of do. I do and I don't. She says, seeing as Delcea is the biggest bitch of the nine, it's too easy to assume that she is the one that wanted the Sims dead. Besides, if she really wanted them dead, she could have killed off the matriarch when she killed all those others last season. Because that's something I did forget is, at the end, the finale of season one, that's when Delcea was trying to take out a lot of the nine families, right?
Right, right.
You know, she did it with that thing that could... target basically families of the
genetic
nine.
Bomb.
The genetic bomb.
Yeah, but she didn't take out the Sims on purpose, because she mentioned to Dutch, no, this one's okay and that one's okay. And so she targeted a specific troublemaking family, I guess.
And that goes back to something that Adeline said to Potter in this episode. She said something along the lines of, the nine families aren't on the same page, Kresh is under a ticking time clock. And that's what we were talking about earlier, the fact that who is the ones that are wanting to take over Kresh and everything.
Right.
So, but Melody goes on to say in this comment on your review, she said, this would suggest that there is somebody else out there trying to take down the remaining heads of the nine families. Maybe this is what Klein was warning Dutch and even Delcea about, which would bring the two stories back together. Klein and the Rack and whatever Red 17 is one storyline, and everything going on in Old Town and the company is the other storyline. They will all connect. In a few episodes, we get to find out how. This suggests that the company and the nine believe that the threat comes from Westerly, and that is why they are putting up walls around all the cities. So, I really like her comment. I think it's she ties it together very nicely with season one and everything, because... You know, people have better memories than I do. I can't remember what I had for lunch earlier today. So.
I'm the worst, and I review these things, and I couldn't remember what happened to their mother.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, episode 1.
Yeah, but I watched that pilot like 12 times.
That's very
You'd
true.
You think I'd remember she was dead, you know?
Yeah, that's very true, but, you know.
Too many TV shows.
Yeah, that's what happens when you watch lots and lots of different TV shows. Sometimes they do, you forget certain things, but I tend to agree with Melody. I said I didn't agree with her, but I do. that these storylines are going to connect. And I think that the way that she's pointed it out, I think that they start to connect that way exactly. So,
right.
And I love how they are tying stuff in from season one into season two, which is very nice to see. So, all right. So let's rate it out of bacons. I'm curious, how many bacons would you give episode 5?
What about episode 4?
Well, how many bacons would you give episode 4?
Episode 4, like 3.5?
I think that's pretty good.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Episode 4. Yeah, I think 3.5, 4. I think that sounds like a good score for that episode. Again, like I said, that one wasn't my favorite of the entire season.
Right.
But it was still fun, and I liked certain things from it. But okay, what about episode 5?
That would be 4.5.
I think I'm going to go 5.
Really?
I'm going to go 5 bacons for episode 5.
I'm just thinking about the dinner scene, the crushy dinner scene. that alone is 5 bacons.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everything else was just gravy on top, because that dinner scene was just so damn good. Yeah. In your review, you said you could watch it on a loop, basically. And
I know.
I agree with you. I would love to see the behind the scenes. I want to see that being filmed on like the Blu-ray DVD extra scenes. You know,
right,
a lot of times,
awesome.
Yeah, sometimes they try to put like scenes that didn't make it in. I'm like, who cares? A lot of times those are so stupid. And you're like, okay, that was the worst
scene ever. That's why they were cut.
Yeah, that's why it was cut. No, I want to see behind the scenes, the making of this episode. I want to see how many times Sarah Power laughed. I want to see how many times Aaron Ashmore laughed while he was filming this. I mean, I want to see how many times the guy that played Hank laughed, because he's being such a dick and having to, like, you know, keep a straight face as Aaron Ashmore is doing all these ridiculous things to that dinner. I 100% agree with him. That food looked nasty as hell.
Worst. Like a cracker or something?
I don't know. It was disgusting.
Like some tuna-looking cracker thing.
And that's how it is at all expensive-ass restaurants. You go to these like super fancy, nice restaurants, and the food is just like crap.
Where's the beef?
Yeah, exactly. Take me to McDonald's. Give me the Wendy's right now. The 4 for $4 menu.
Yeah, forget this little piece of carriage.
Shit. Yeah. It was terrible. But,
no, but you're right. I would love to see more moments like that on the DVD.
Yeah.
The season one DVD only had a few interviews and things. There weren't any real deleted scenes or anything, any extras, really.
Well,
hopefully for the second season.
Yes.
You know, they've got some more material to share, because I love that stuff. I sat through all that stuff for the Lord of the Rings trilogy, like all 75 hours of it, and watched all that behind the scenes stuff. Yeah, I love that stuff.
No, that stuff's great. Well, since they've used your name on the show now and made you a complete asshole, I think
and on
they
12
may...
Monkeys too.
Well, I yeah,
I'm
but
popping
on,
up all over these shows.
Yeah, you died on 12 Monkeys really quickly.
Yeah, I know. And I died on this one too.
And you died on this one too. You die a lot on sci-fi TV shows. But I think they owe you a favor now, because you know they basically slandered your name on this show. So I think they owe you a behind the scenes crushy dinner sequence on the Blu-ray. So
awesome.
So just let them know that you would like that, even if it's just on yours, and then you can share it with me.
The next episode, I just want to real quick just drop in there, is the one that I actually got to see them filming a scene from episode 6.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's so cool to see it all cut together, you know, with the lighting and everything working.
Nice.
And the special effects. Very, very cool. So I'm hoping, you know, for season 3, I'll get to visit.
Yeah.
You know, one more time and interview them and hang out at the set too.
That's awesome.
I Love Lucy. Yeah.
If you're liking the show, as well as our rambles on the show as well.
Rants.
Yes, it's definitely ranty, for sure. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. We'd love for you to leave us a review on iTunes, preferably 5 stars. You can talk lots and lots of shit about us if we're terrible in the review, but just leave those 5 stars.
Leave the 5 stars.
But we want to hear all your thoughts, like, you know, what's going on with Red 17? Why is Dav resistant? Is it just the military, these implants, military experiments? What's going on there? Dutch, what the hell is going on with Dutch? Why was there another Dutch on Arkin? Is there multiple versions of Dutch throughout history and everything? Because that was apparently 200 plus years ago. So
yeah, that's true. Is Sabine level 6?
Yes. Yes. Sabine. Love you, Sabine. Not as much as Potter, though. Potter's my favorite. So, so let us know all those things. Rantpocalypse@gmail.com. We appreciate you checking in with our podcast. Sorry we're a little bit late on recapping episodes 4 and 5. We will be on time for episode 6. And again, we should be having an interview with Lucy Tamsin. Herself, with Tamsin. Yeah.
We should make her do the whole interview in Lucy's voice.
Exactly. I wonder how different Lucy's voice is than her real voice. I mean, it's definitely, it's a little bit robotic as Lucy, as you would think, right?
Yeah.
Since she is, a machine.
They do add that little effect in there, yeah.
I'm excited to talk with her. I'm excited about episode 6. I'm just ready for it to get here.
Yep. It's a good one.
I can't wait.
Another good one.
All right. Well, make sure and watch it Friday night and then check back with us because we'll have our discussion up that evening about the episode. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you have a fantastic day.
Bye-bye.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I reap what I done sowed. Hey, hey. Well, let me tell you something. All that glitters ain't gold. Hey, hey. It's been a long old trouble.